If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
All right, here we are. Back in the studio for another hour's worth of podcasting magic. Yes, modesty is allowed, right? Okay, all levels okay in there? Reg, yes? Thumbs up, yes? Yes, talent is ready, as usual. Put it in the books, episode 171. 171? I'm in a good mood here, too. How about you? It's September already. Where the heck did the first 8 months of the year go? Well, let's make some more magic, okay? All right, three yeses, star, smile, and strong. I'm going to do the countdown, Reggie. Are you ready? Because I am. Three, two, one. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com or whatever platform you use to find us on a regular basis, your loyalty is much appreciated. Thank you for downloading, for scrolling, for clicking, whatever it is you do, and wherever you find us is much appreciated. Wherever it is out there, thank you. In fact, if you even want to get more brownie points with an Elton Jim, on whatever platform you find us, don't be afraid to subscribe to that and to rate this podcast. And by all means, spread the word. If you've got some friends that are really into podcasts, tell them about Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Send a link if you can, but spread the word. As we are at now, more than 3 years on the podcast, and this is episode 171. So while I certainly appreciate the loyalty and the steadiness of my audience, and I really want to thank you, everybody who listens on a regular basis, because this podcast has done very well in terms of regular downloads. But we're always looking for more people to join in, right? For a while, it may have been fun to have your own little thing, but you know, now podcasting is becoming so important. It's so popular. So it's a lot of word of mouth that gets things around. It's people saying, hey, I heard this interesting podcast. You might want to listen to it. So by all means, if you feel this is one of your favorite podcasts, don't be afraid to tell a friend, send a link, or tell us where to find, tell them where to find us. So wherever it is you do find us, thank you for that. As I said, don't be afraid to subscribe to that platform and to rate what you think about the podcast. And don't forget to tell your friends. And that's what I believe. You guys are my friends, and I hopefully that you feel that way too. As I said, if you want to really be a good friend, then you can go back and find out where the friendship started with episode one back in May of 2016. You can find that at WGNplus.com, sort of our home, a landing page on WGNplus.com in the entertainment section. And you just hit the Elton Jim prompt, and there will be all the previous 170 episodes. So we can really get to know each other, which can only mean, as I said before, this is episode 171. So spread the word. It was much appreciated. I wanted to talk today about something that just struck me last weekend. I can't believe we're already in September. My goodness, where did the summer go? I always make a joke that June 1st, the summer is over, because it goes by so fast. When June 1st comes, summer's over. And doesn't it feel that way? Wow, it's already September. But one of the things that I enjoy about the end of summer, in the end of August, is I always watch the Little League World Series. And, I played baseball for a good portion of my early life, well into my teens and into my 20s. And so I am a huge fan of baseball, and both as a player and as a spectator. And still, it's probably my favorite sport to watch. But there's more. I don't think you have to be a pure baseball fan to really appreciate and enjoy the Little League World Series. Yes, a bunch of 10 and 11 and 12-year-old kids just playing baseball, but there's so much more going on. It's really fun to see the innocence of these young kids playing this game that they enjoy. Before you could say these young boys, but that's not the case. In fact, this year, as female empowerment continues to take over our society, and nothing wrong with that, there was a girl on one of the teams, and though the team didn't go to the final, they went fairly deep into the tournament, and she certainly showed off her skills. I think her name was Maddie Frecking, and she even pitched and did a nice job on the pitcher's mound. So she could throw that ball. She was not on that team just to, you know, to make a statement or to have a girl on the team. She was one of the starting players and a very good player. And she certainly, hopefully, will inspire more girls to get into Little League. You know, you don't realize, you know, how that was kind of a unwritten rule that girls didn't play. You know, why was that? I don't know. But we are starting to change a lot of things like that. And there have been some girls in the past that have played in the Little League World Series. And, of course, one of the more popular sports today is women's softball, especially in high school and college. And I watch those games, too, and those are very good games. But anyway, but there's, you know, you don't have to be a baseball fan to watch and appreciate and just be, you know, just drawn to the Little League World Series. Because there is an innocence and a naivete. These kids, you know, you watch the game and you see that they're trying to be cool and they're trying to act like they're heroes. And yet, you know, at the end of the day, they're still 10, 11, and 12 years old and they're going to make bad mistakes, and at the same time they're going to do stuff. You know, they're at an age where they don't care about what other people think. You know, they're themselves, and so they do kind of funny things out on the field. And of course today everybody is so camera conscious and camera ready that you're seeing a lot more animated kids out on the field. But it's just a fun couple of weeks. It's usually on ABC, the finals, you know, on the ABC network, but the games are on different ESPN channels. And I watch it throughout. What I love is, you know, they show the kids' names and they have their baseball score, you know, their statistics, home runs and average and runs batted in. But then for the Little League World Series, they have other subjects on that line that they superimpose on the screen there, like, you know, favorite actor or favorite food or favorite movie. And so I love it when you see, you know, here's Logan Smith. Yeah, there's not a lot of Jims and Johns and Michaels anymore. Most of the names are Logan, Sullivan, Egan, Liam, you know, Reese. It's really funny. Not having a kid, you know, I'm not in that little world of hearing all these names on a regular basis, but wow, have names changed over the last 25 years. Now it seems like the trend is to just take an Irish last name and make it a first name. I saw a lot of those. Like I said, Logan, Egan, Sullivan. So that seems to be the new trend now. And, of course, you got your biblical names. There was a Noah. I remember Noah Culpepper was a catcher for one of the teams. But, yeah, I it's usually on for a couple of weeks, and even on ESPN, at the beginning of the month, they start to show some of the very early rounds. And, in fact, an Illinois team from River Forest, Illinois, almost got into the qualifying round to go to Williamsport, Pennsylvania, where the World Series tournament is held. They came one game away, and sadly they didn't win, so it would have been cool to see an Illinois team in there. But yeah, I just really enjoy watching it. As I said, there's a sense of innocence, and these kids are just doing something they really enjoy. The parents are out there. And so for a couple of weeks, it's kind of fun to just, take away all the craziness of the world, especially in today's world, and just see something very pure being done just for the love of it, you know. And as I said, just watching kind of young kids going about being young kids and enjoying something they do. And from my standpoint, it's hard not to, bring back memories of my own, having played Little League baseball and baseball for many years. But it actually, as I watch it, brings back other memories of just childhood in general. And I got to thinking, it is amazing how our childhood memories remain so vivid in our memories and in our minds. And a lot of times, you know, you go on a vacation, a couple years later, you forget all the places you went to. But don't you remember the first crush you had on a boy or a girl? You know, don't you remember, maybe your first car that you had, or, you know, the first amusement park that you went to, or your favorite doll when you were a kid, or your favorite toy when you were a kid? That memory, I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, I mean, it's almost tangible. It's almost touchable. The memory of it is so immediate, and it's so fresh and detailed. And as I said many times, my mom, thankfully, was a pack rat, and she saved a lot of my things. And so I can actually go back and look at a lot of my first dolls and toys my mom did keep. But there's just other, you know, memories, whether it was your first vacation that you went that you can remember. But it's just incidents that happened. And I say this because over the last week or so, I was emailing with a listener, and I don't know if she listens to the podcast at all. I know that she used to listen to me on the radio regularly. So I'm not sure if she listens to the podcast, but, people email me, and I'm certainly, one to answer emails from people on my Facebook page. And so we were emailing back and forth because we had we kind of grew up in the same area, which we didn't know. And in the course of the email conversation, she mentioned how at one of the neighborhood local neighborhood carnivals that, you know, a lot of churches and schools will have as fundraisers, you know, they in their parking lots, and a lot of times they'll even, you know, organizations will have them in parking lots of shopping malls in the summer. You drive around and you see these different carnivals, either, like I said, in school parking lots or in shopping center parking lots, not the official places like Great America or things like that, but, you know, these kind of traveling carnivals. And so in the course of the conversation, I mentioned what high school I went to, and she said, oh, and she's younger than I am, but she knew the neighborhood, and she said, oh, well, you know, at the carnival at your high school, when I was a little kid, I'll never forget, I went on the roller coaster and I threw up on my dad's feet. And as soon as she said that, I immediately, as soon as her memory, she shared that memory, it immediately sparked in me one of my childhood memories. And so, first of all, I thought it was interesting that all I mentioned was the high school I went to. And right away, she thought of that high school in connection with this childhood memory that she had that clearly is still something that is at the top of her mind. And she, you know, explained the whole situation like it happened yesterday. And when she shared that, it immediately sparked my own memory of a similar thing at an amusement park. And people in the Chicago area may remember the great kind of mini amusement park long before they had these huge places like Six Flags and Great America. There was a lot of neighborhood amusement parks all around the city and the suburbs. Now, clearly the biggest one in Chicago for many years was Riverview, which was up a little east near on Western Avenue in Belmont, not far from Wrigley Field, sort of around where Lane Tech High School is. Everybody talks about Great Riverview, and my parents certainly, when they were young, they went there. And you hear people of a certain age all went to Riverview. I was too young to have been around for Riverview, but certainly the stories of people that did go sounds like it was a pretty cool place to go. But then, as I said, there were other neighborhood places. There weren't these big, sprawling, amusement parks. I mean, you know, obviously Disneyland started, but there were other ones. In the Chicago area, there was Santa's Village. I believe that was in Dundee. There was Adventureland. I always loved Adventureland. They had the Italian Bobs there. I don't even know where Adventureland was, to be honest with you. We would go there at least once a year or twice a year with a bunch of, the families and the little kids, all my friends. When it closed down, I would love to know where Adventureland was. I have to look that up. It was probably not that far away. It seemed very far because you got on the car and it seemed like you were driving forever, but it couldn't have been that far. I do remember, Santa's Village just being in Dundee because I think the song used to have a commercial on and the song used to say Dundee. There was another small, very cool amusement park in the western suburbs called Dispenza's Kitty Kingdom, because there was a toy store called Dispenza's Castle of Toys. It was literally shaped like a castle, and it was a toy store. And then they had a small amusement park there. Kids are king at Dispenza's Kitty Kingdom. Exciting rides that make you yell and holler. Any ride a quarter, six for a dollar. This is what I'm saying. How come I can sing the Dispenza's Kitty Kingdom song that quickly without even thinking? Talk about the indelible mark that our childhood memories have in our minds. As I said, you do things, you go, I don't know, we went on a vacation, we made a few stops, but my gosh, you asked me to sing the Dispenza's Kitty Kingdom song and I can sing it with no problem. It's amazing how what we do in our early life not only shapes who we become, but really stays with us. And I got that feeling as I was watching the Little League World Series, and I had to laugh when, I think I'll say her first name, I don't think she'll mind, this woman, Maggie, mentioned that she got sick on the roller coaster at the carnival that was held at my high school. And as I said, when she mentioned that and sort of shared that story, and I appreciated her honesty, but she freely shared it. It was just kind of like fun to talk, regardless of whether it's possibly, embarrassing or not. I mean, how could it be embarrassing? You're a little kid and you throw up on a ride. So what? That's almost commonplace, right? And I'm saying that because I want to, somehow rationalize my behavior when I tell you my story, because mine is in the same area to some extent, and you'll see what I mean. But when she shared her roller coaster story, she's a little girl and she threw up on her dad's shoe, which is a great story, and it's one that thankfully she does remember. Let's be grateful that those childhood memories do not go away. That's the other side of the coin. When you think about it, I mean, you know, our early life, is something that we have vague memories of. Very, now today everybody's life is documented on video. So, most little kids today won't even need memories because everything they've done from the minute they were born and even before that has been cataloged in pictures and on videos thanks to the iPhone. But those of us of a certain age, that technology was not as readily available and it wasn't as popular. Yes, there were cameras, for film, and there were movie cameras, but not everyone had one, and not everyone certainly didn't carry one every day with them. So when those different moments happened, now they can be easily documented. You take a picture out, you take your phone out, but whether you had a nice camera or a camera at all, you didn't carry it with you 24 hours a day. And you certainly didn't have a movie camera. There was, 16 millimeter and 8 millimeter, but some people had them, but not a lot of people did. And even in the days later on in the 80s with video cameras, it became more popular, but not everybody had them. So for those of us of a certain age, we sort of have to rely on our memories and some pictures that our parents may have taken. But it's certainly not as comprehensive as today's kids, their entire lives from, and now you can even have an ultrasound. So even in the womb, there's pictures of you. Everybody wonders why everybody's so camera ready. Well, think about it. People have been smiling for cameras when they're in the womb these days. And I was talking about ultrasounds on the last podcast, but I never just thought about that until just now. Yeah, people are actually smiling for the camera when they're in utero. But anyway, so when Maggie shared this story with me about throwing up on the roller coaster, and I'm saying that in order, I keep repeating that just so you know, so that it won't make what I did sound so bad. So I'm trying to get you desensitized. But when she shared that story with me, I immediately flashed to a moment when I was a little kid. And one of the earliest memories I have of going to an amusement park, and the one that I went to was Kiddyland in Melrose Park. Although I don't even know if it was Melrose Park. It may have been Elmwood Park, depending on where this route, but right on North Avenue, not far from the city. It's a Costco now, paved paradise to put up a parking lot. It literally is the Costco parking lot. That song did come true. But Kiddyland, there was another one, like a terror one. It was more like a monster-based one, in Burbank or somewhere on the south side, down in Harlem, and which is still around. Sometimes I'll drive down Harlem Avenue in Chicago going south, and I'll see that one. It's very small. It looked big when you're a little kid. I remember how big Kiddyland seemed, and then all of a sudden you got older, and you're like, oh, my gosh. I could take four steps and be from one side to the other at Kiddyland. But yeah, Kiddyland on the northwest side here was really a destination for most little kids for many, many years. And now I think it's probably been closed down for at least 10, sadly. But it certainly was the home of a lot of memories. And I'll never forget when I went there with my mom. I'm sure my dad was there, but my mom went on the ride with me, and we went on the Tilt-A-Whirl. And you remember the Tilt-A-Whirl ride? It's kind of in that little half moon compartment that you sit in, and then you kind of twirl around. Thus the name, right? You tilt and you whirl. The Tilt-A-Whirl. I always thought it was called the Tilt-A-World. Because as a little kid, who knew what the word whirl meant, right? Then all of a sudden, as I got older, I started to read the printing on the actual ride, and it said Tilt-A-Whirl. And I'm like, oh, I always thought it was Tilt-A-World. Because believe me, when you sat in there, especially when you're a little kid, it did feel like the world was tilting. Your entire world was tilting. And so, you know, I didn't go on the roller coaster. I guess my mom figured, well, let me start him off on a easy ride. And, you know, when you're a little kid, first you go on those little simple rides that you just sort of sit in and they go around in a circle, you know, like on a merry-go-round or something. And, you know, it's kind of a progression thing. You know, you go from the merry-go-round, or sometimes, you know, and then every so often, you know, the horse and the merry-go-round will go up and down. So you get that little sensation, not crazy, you know, and then you go on the other ones where there's like little rockets, you know, or little, you know, characters, like you sit in the Dumbo or something like that, and it still goes around, and sometimes it's like feels like you're flying and it'll dip a little. And then as you get a little older, you know, you go on the spinning cups, you know, on that little thing that you sit in the middle and you turn that that round kind of, it's not really a steering wheel, but you just turn that round disc and somehow that thing starts spinning, and boy, does your head go crazy. And then you progress slowly into the other rides that are a little more faster and a little more, you know, dangerous per se, and the dips and the movement. So my mom, you know, probably feels, well, the Tilt-A-Whirl's fairly harmless, right? And I have no idea how old I am at the time, but I was pretty young. I certainly remember that. And so, you know, I don't know what this is going to do. At that point, I can't read, so I don't know what tilt or whirl means, right? And I don't realize the tilt of my world that's going to happen. So, you know, if you remember the Tilt-A-Whirl ride, it starts off relatively simple. It's just kind of like a little zoom, little spin, nothing major. And so I just remember going, okay, just kind of spinning around a few times, and that was fine. But then as it starts to move, and you know, it goes kind of up and down, and then your car starts twirling and tilting and starts moving around, and suddenly your whole equilibrium is thrown off. And if you're a little kid, I'd never experienced this. I mean, I've never took acid, but I assume that that's probably what it feels like, especially when you're a little kid. I mean, I never was in any. I mean, you know, I mostly had my both feet firmly on the ground. And so this first time of this sensation of this spinning and dipping and you know, having, looking around and just, you know, everything going in a spin around you. And even when you look around, everything's blurry. You're literally in a Tilt-A-Whirl, right? It's a well-named ride. Well, I mean, let's be honest, folks. If you're a little kid and you've never experienced these kinds of physical, movements and physical reality, you can only imagine what a little kid, I mean, what does a little kid do when he's afraid or very nervous? Now, if you're, you know, you have an upset stomach like Maggie had and you're a little afraid, or maybe you just had something to eat, so maybe, you know, you'll, on a roller coaster, you might lose your stomach dips because you're going up and down on those dips. So maybe she wasn't as much afraid as she just was eating too much cotton candy and had a reaction. And I don't remember how old, I don't know if she said how old she was. But when I was on the Tilt-A-Whirl with my mom, and I was spinning and tilting and whirling, and never before feeling these weird sensations of gravity and a loss of equilibrium and what the hell was going on, it was more of a fear than an excitement. And I'll ask you once again, what do little kids do when they're afraid or when they're very nervous? Yeah, you can guess it. Yeah, I totally peed my pants on the Tilt-A-Whirl. Oh, my God. It was like an immediate reaction. I remember the first couple of twirls, and I was a goner. I didn't know what was happening. All my bodily functions had lost. I lost all command. I will never forget it. There was a freeing sensation, but there was also, you know, and I was old enough that I didn't wear diapers anymore, which I think necessitated us either having to go home early or having to go into the bathroom and do a wash job. I don't know if my mom brought extra clothes. I don't know what the aftermath was, but let's just say that it was a liberating experience. And I certainly got a release. And I should say it was a number one release. And I don't mean that in, you know, as the best. It wasn't the top of the charts, put it that way. But wow, do I remember that clearly. And I remember that only the sensation of the spinning and not knowing what the heck was going to happen. And I think the biggest part as to why I got so scared and nervous and why I sort of, you know, let go, if you will, was that not only did I never experience that feeling, that spinning, that loss of control, that loss of equilibrium, whatever you want to call it, but I didn't know when it was going to end. I mean, I was sitting in this thing. I didn't really know. I mean, you know, what was going to happen? My mom may have said it's going to spin. I don't know. Even know if I knew what that meant. So every time I got on a Tilt-A-Whirl, and still do it, I haven't been on a Tilt-A-Whirl in many years, but does that memory come back? And I could close my eyes right now, and I can picture sitting in the Tilt-A-Whirl car. I remember looking at my mom like, "Mom, what's happening?" And I remember just looking straight out and seeing the blur as we were spinning. And as I said, wondering if this was going to never end. Because if you remember, if you really get that, if that Tilt-A-Whirl compartment really gets going, it almost feels like you're tipping and spinning almost upside down. And I think that's when I lost it. So needless to say, I went on the Tilt-A-Whirl dry. And came back very wet. But wow, you talk about instant childhood memories and how they really are indelibly etched into our memories and our minds. And I don't know about you, but I enjoy when those moments happen, when you are reminded of something like that. Because it does bring you back to an earlier time, an earlier innocence, and you know, an earlier you, when you didn't even know what you were doing. So much of what we do as little kids is reactionary. It's not thinking. And as I said, I went on that ride not thinking about what would happen, didn't care, didn't know, and it didn't matter. And you know what? I peed my pants. Okay. And you move on. But every time I get on a Tilt-A-Whirl, now, I still come back to that. And every time I watch the Little League World Series, I think about the games that I played and the moments, whether it was getting a hit or, you know, hitting a home run or something like that, or doing something fun or just something funny happening on the field. And I can close my eyes and you know, picture special events that happened. I've talked about this before. When I was 11, I got a chance to play at Wrigley Field. And that is an indelible memory in my mind that every time I walk into Wrigley Field, when I walk up the stairs from the concourse and enter the bowl of the stadium, and when I see that ivy, I immediately am taken back to being 11 years old. and remember playing. And I remember jumping in the in those vines. We got before the game, we got a chance to run on the field, and I just jumped in the vines. I'm like, when am I ever gonna get this chance before or again? You know? And so, yeah, it's just amazing how what we do as little kids. They talk about how, you know, our early years are our most formative in terms of our personality, and that really does seem to be true. But it's really amazing, we go through a long life and those childhood memories, for whatever reason, are frozen in time, and they are so quickly to be accessed. We quickly access them too. So you think of a schoolyard or a school carnival, and you immediately remembered that you threw up on your dad's shoe on the roller coaster. And don't forget, Maggie remembered not only that she threw up on the roller coaster when she was a little girl at the high school carnival, but she remembered that she threw up on her dad's shoe. An added detail. Same thing with me when I went on the Tilt-A-Whirl. I can remember being in that car and as I said, the sensation, and then the aftermath. And I don't even think my mom got mad at me. I think she realized, well, you know what? I guess he got afraid. But that was one thing. I never let that stop me. And I now enjoy roller coasters. I'm afraid of them to some extent. Not in a, you know, in a fear way that I won't go on them. But there's still a little, you know, I get a little, I don't, I control my my bodily functions now. But yeah, there's a little stir in the stomach when you sort of get on the one of these crazy roller coasters today and they're ready to go, which is part of the fun. So I guess I have my, mom to thank for at least taking me on there. And even though I peed my pants on my first amusement park ride, it didn't stop me from continuing to go on. So, you know what? Sometimes you just have to, you know, do your business, and it prepares you for the next time. But wow, if you've never watched the Little League World Series, next August, look for it online, and you can see what when the games are. And I guarantee you, you might not be a big baseball fan, but I bet you watch at least two or three innings. There's just, as I said before, some kind of appealing attraction to the innocence and the pure fun that's going on. And I guarantee you, as you watch that, it will transport you to thinking of your own childhood and things that you did when you were that age, whether you played baseball or not. And I'm so glad that we have those childhood memories, because they do form who we are in many ways. But at the same time, they are so crazy because we're just, as I said before, we're just reacting. And we're just experiencing things for the first time. And you could never, you know, you could never bring back that kind of innocence and recreate that. We try with nostalgia, but you can't, because it's organic when it happens the first time. And maybe that's why it stays with us for so long, you know. So we can keep all the pictures that we want. And today, all the photos and the selfies and the videos and whatever you do to catalog things. But I'll be honest with you, I still like the picture of a memory. And welcome back to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. And now we take a stroll, as we do so often, to the Pop Culture Club and talk to Emily Armonetti. Hello, Emily.
Hey, Jim.
So I thought today would be a good day, as we are now officially are into September, and I assume the summer is over. I don't know what the temperatures will be, although you are based in Texas, here in the Chicago area. We're actually getting kind of a mild end to August. Usually it's in the 80s and 90s. But it's actually been very nice. What's been, is it, is still hot in Texas?
It's always hot in Texas.
Yeah, we had a heat advisory.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't even want to take my son to soccer practice.
Oh, my God. Yeah, don't you
hate that? I was worried about the safety of the children.
Oh, here we go.
They're playing soccer.
Oh, my God. Is that a helicopter? Is that a helicopter? Oh, no. It's a helicopter parent. Sorry.
No. This is just called parenting.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Okay, it's the heat.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The hottest point of the day here in Texas is usually the end of the day. It's like 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening because the heat just builds and builds. You know how in a lot of places it's like around midday?
Yeah, usually about 3 o'clock, yeah.
But not so much in Texas. And so the heat just builds all day long. So that we had the heat index was so high yesterday that there was like an actual, we were getting alerts on our phones.
Oh, wow.
Heat advisory. Please do not go outside unless you absolutely have to. So it's hot. It's still hot in Texas, but it's going to cool off. I think we're going to get some rain and it's going to cool off.
Yeah. Well, anyway, what I wanted to talk about hot. woohoo! How's that for a segue? what I wanted to talk about was this frenzy in the last several weeks here, at least in the United States. We've got a good old fashioned chicken sandwich war.
Oof.
Now, have you seen?
Yeah. It's a showdown.
The commercial, it's a throwdown and a showdown.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, and I was doing a little research here, August 12th to be exact, and I remember seeing the commercials for the new Popeye's chicken sandwich, which on first blush would be very innocuous, okay? Not surprising. We see most fast food places now, it seems that chicken is the new chicken.
Right.
And everybody has a chicken sandwich. Even though it's deep fried, they still are able to somehow sell the health factor.
Yeah.
Which is,
well,
you know, ingenious, really.
I don't know if they're personally, I don't really eat fast food. And it's been a really long time since I've been to a McDonald's. Although I did have Popeyes over the weekend, I told you. But
you did have Popeyes?
I told you, yeah, I had Popeyes.
So did you have
the sandwich?
Did you? You didn't have the sandwich.
No, I did not have the sandwich. But well, let's. So first of all, I have to say though, in defense of the chicken sandwich wars, if I go to a place like that, which again, I feel like at this point in my life, it's been like
you don't have to. You don't have to. First of all, you don't have to apologize.
Well, no, but I
for going to a fast food place.
These days, if I am at a fast food place, it's because I am letting my kids have like a special treat of like a Happy Meal or something.
Right.
Even they don't eat fast food very much in comparison to when you're young and you can metabolize all that stuff and it doesn't matter. But anyway, when I used to, if I would go to like a McDonald's or probably whatever, I don't even know if I ever went to Burger King, but a chicken sandwich is probably what I would get. Not because I think it's healthier, because they are not fooling me, but yeah. Just because it tastes better, I would prefer that to one of their burgers.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so I remember, you know, and, you know, first of all, I love the Popeyes, you know, slogan, love that chicken from Popeyes. And I think that's actually the late Dr. John, who just passed away, the New Orleans singer. But,
really?
Yeah. But anyway, so they introduced this sandwich. I remember seeing it. I remember watching the commercial and saying, boy, that looks good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was you know, a nice, hearty piece of chicken. I do like Popeye's chicken. I've gone there a few times at the drive-thru and gotten their chicken tenders, and I love their dirty rice. But as you said, I don't go there on a regular basis.
Right.
But this looked like a nice sandwich. It's on a brioche bun.
Okay, yeah. So this is what I'm wondering, because what is so...
Yeah, I mean, this special. Is my point. There's nothing really, you know, I mean, other places have it on brioche buns. There's just a swath of mayo. It's not like there's some secret sauce or some amazing thing. But and as I said, you've got Kentucky Fried Chicken, which every 2 weeks seems to, you know, introduce a new big bowl. Or something with the and a new Colonel Sanders and their commercials.
Now, don't you think? Oh, yeah. Well, that's actually kind of an interesting ad campaign. I would say it's kind of bringing Kentucky Fried Chicken into the modern times. But you know, the thing I've always thought about Kentucky Fried Chicken is it always seems like a much better idea before you actually start eating it. And then as soon as you're eating it, you're like, oh no, why am I doing
this? Well, I do like the extra crispy. If I did, and I haven't been to Kentucky Fried Chicken in many years as well.
Yeah.
But I remember that, you know, back when I was a little kid, that used to be a staple. I mean, you know, we would go there quite a bit because it was in the 70s, especially when I was, I mean, that was the rage. You know, everybody had, you know, the Colonel. But I actually liked the extra crispy better because I always found, even though the original recipe has all the herbs and spices, mm-hmm. it was always very greasy to me.
Yeah.
Even as a little kid, I was like, whoa, what's going to happen to my heart?
Yeah, right.
And I was eight.
This is what I mean. It seems like a better idea.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Although I have to say that I will still believe that the greatest brown gravy I've ever tasted is at Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, no.
It's the greatest brown.
Oh, man. You've got to step up your gravy game.
But anyway, so, you know, there's Kentucky Fried Chicken. Wendy's every 2 weeks has a new, you know, chicken sandwich. McDonald's is constantly updating and revising its menu, and there's always a different kind of a chicken sandwich, whether it's spicy, whether it's buttermilk. I mean, it's, you know, for whatever reason, as I said, even Culver's, which is known for its butter burgers,
mm-hmm.
you know, I see commercials all this month. I don't know if for some reason August is chicken month, but they're talking about their chicken sandwich. You know, everybody is chicken, chicken, chicken. So I didn't expect, you know, I saw this Popeyes thing. I didn't think it was going to affect my life all too much. But I did think it looked, oh, it looks like a nice piece of chicken. And uh-huh. they did a nice job of selling it. Well, suddenly, I'm just looking at news on the internet machine. And you're seeing that there's lines outside of Popeyes.
Right.
And then you're seeing some stories that there's memes about this, and celebrities are talking about it, and they're not paid, you know.
Mm-hmm, right.
And suddenly it's becoming a phenomenon to
it's
the point.
Trending. It's
yeah,
trending.
Yeah, trending. It's, and to the point where then Wendy's, and then their main target, I would assume, is Chick-fil-A, which is basically mm-hmm. just a pure chicken place. I don't even yes. think I don't even think Chick-fil-A has hamburgers at all, right? Are they just all chicken?
Yeah, I don't think there are any burgers there.
Now,
I mean, again, I don't eat there, but I do occasionally let my kids go there. Cause
yeah, now I have had, I must say.
Wait, now do you have Chick-fil-A in Chicago?
Yeah, it's only been about the last 3 or 4 or 5 years where they've started to really crop up. They were not here for a long time.
Yeah.
And we were always hearing about them, and now they are fairly, you know, expanded around the entire, at least in the suburban area.
When I went to Indiana, I was in college and I lived.
Oh, wow. You had them. They had them there.
There was Chick-fil-A there, but I never ate. I didn't even know what it was because I grew up in Chicago and I didn't grow up with it.
No kidding. Oh, I didn't know that Chick-fil-A was around for that long.
Yeah. I remember one of my roommates used to bring Chick-fil-A home.
Oh, my goodness. So
Hey, it hasn't been that long.
I was wondering if you're going to say anything.
I didn't know Chick-fil-A has been around for 100 years.
I didn't know that Benjamin Franklin had a Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
But no, I had, so about 4 or 5 years ago, it's really starting to crop up. And so that's all you were hearing about. And so I have had a couple of those just through the drive through. And I must say, they are very good. And I don't know what it is, if it's in the batter or whatever. And it's very simple. It's a very simple sandwich. It's just a chicken and a pickle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's not even lettuce and tomato or anything on it.
Yeah.
The original. So
I think that they probably butter the bun and then put it on the grill for a minute.
Yeah, there's something. Yeah, they do something, but it is certainly very good. But at the same time, so I'm sure that Popeyes is shooting at Chick-fil-A. And what's mm-hmm. What's really interesting about Chick-fil-A is given how popular they are, and I think they're the number one, you know, chicken sandwich, and they're up there even within, you know, the fast food things, is don't forget, you know, due to their, I guess, religious founding roots, they're not even open on Sundays.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, it is because of their,
because
of the religious aspect.
And
they want their employees to be at church.
Yeah, and there is some controversy because the company does or has either come out or I think donated to charities or groups that are kind of opposed to homosexual rights. So I know there's some kind of a homosexual aspect to Chick-fil-A that a lot of people boycott it. And even so,
yes, that is right.
So they, despite that, and despite a whole day off, which is unheard of in today's world, whoever heard of any kind of retail store not open 7 days a week, the fact that they can still rack up numbers is pretty impressive. But so apparently then on social media, Chick-fil-A then sees the little storm that's happening for Popeyes. So they make a little snarky comment. Mm-hmm. And then Popeyes comes back at them. And then Wendy's chirps in.
Uh-oh.
And so I'm sitting there going, you know, and given the fact that we both have a background in public relations, I couldn't help but then just revert back to those days and say, so if I worked at any of those companies, suddenly now you're in major lockdown bunker mode.
Oh, for sure.
Because either if you work for Popeyes, your bosses are telling you, okay, keep this social media thing, percolating. And then if you work for any of the competitors, they came into your office and say, hey, what's going on?
Right. Well, you know, their competitors, Popeye's competitors, as soon as the Popeye's thing started getting pick up in the news and started trending on social media and all of that, their competitors for sure were in strategy meetings trying to figure out how do we get in on this cycle and coming up with ways to do that. Now, like back in our day, we would have had to be in touch with a bunch of reporters. We probably would have been fielding calls from reporters too, because they want to talk to the competitors. But it's interesting too, like now there's a whole new layer because you can just get an entire campaign like going just on social media, just a total grassroots style campaign. You don't even have to talk to a single reporter.
And it's a real good point to say that I don't know if this, as I said, that suddenly when this Popeye's sandwich thing started to trend, you know, it seemed exactly to your point, to the outside world, from a transparency standpoint, it seemed as if it was this kind of just organic grassroots thing.
Right.
But for all you know, it was very well planned out. And this was actually an amazing, PR campaign that looks like it just started out of pure word of mouth and grew because of the quality of the sandwich and how much everyone loved it, as opposed to some, you know, corporate plan that strategically plotted all this out. I don't know, and we'll never know, really, but you can't argue with the results.
But not at all. And I would say this has to have been planned. I don't think these things, something this big really truly does happen organically, but it's done really well, and it seems like it was completely organic and took off. Now, the question, though, is, like, did it make you want to go or run over to Popeye's?
Well, I'll tell you, that's what's so interesting. So I remember seeing the commercial initially, and they were promoting it very heavily on television. And so it did spark me to say, well, maybe one day as I'm driving around, I'll stop at a Popeye's. Yeah. And there's a couple that are not far from where I live. They're not right around the corner. It wouldn't take more than a 10 or 15 minute drive. So it's not as if I have to go to the Himalayas. But at the same time, it would be something of an effort, to just simply go for this sandwich. But then when I started, only a few days later, maybe a week later. So when I started reading these stories about lines around the block, then that actually turned me off.
Right, because you're not going to go that far.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not that
line.
Yeah, I'm not that
because
crazed.
You have to wonder if it is really that good or if it's just the hype that's getting people.
Well, and here's the other side of the coin. So, as I said, I don't live far from a Chick-fil-A. And so just about a week ago, I'm driving down a major street where the Chick-fil-A is at, and it's like 3:30 in the afternoon, okay? So it's after the lunch rush.
Right.
And seemingly it's before the dinner rush. Right? 3:30.
Right. Right. This is, should not be a time when they're busy. That's the time of the day where if you go to a McDonald's.
Right. You could fly right in.
You're making a huge mistake because they are not hot. And they've been sitting there for 2 hours. Right.
Yeah. You'll get it fast, but it won't be as good as if it was. Yeah.
Exactly.
But as I'm driving by, I just take a look at Chick-fil-A and the drive-through line. There are two lines in the drive-thru, and it's jammed. And I'm sitting there going, I wonder if, you know, here's the one thing. If you're Chick-fil-A or if you're Wendy's, you have to put on this public front like you're all angry and competitive and we'll show you and we've got the best. Because, like, Chick-fil-A's Twitter thing was like, oh, chicken, bun, that's what we've been doing, you know, enjoy the original. That was their thing.
Right.
Kind of like, you know, what did we, you know, no big deal, gang. What you're doing, Popeyes, we've been doing forever. That was kind of their take on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have to think if you even have to put out an outside, stance on this, like you're competitive and you're going to fight it. At the end of the day, when I saw that, I'm saying to myself, I wonder if the popularity of the Popeyes chicken sandwich not only has helped Popeyes, but has just raised everybody's appetite for a chicken sandwich.
Well, I don't know, but
if you want
a chicken sandwich right now.
Yeah, I mean, I have a taste. For a chicken sandwich.
You can't even get it at Popeyes.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, everybody's talking about chicken sandwich, even if I can't get one at Popeyes, now if I'm driving around and, like I said, it's in the mid-end of the afternoon and I'm kind of hungry, are people just going now to say, well, I'll go to Chick-fil-A or I'll go to McDonald's or I'll go to Wendy's and I'll get a chicken sandwich? So in a weird way, those competitors really can't be all that upset.
No,
getting business that they wouldn't have gotten because now everybody's got chicken sandwiches on their mind and in their taste buds.
Right.
You know? And I have to say, too, what's interesting is that when you think about, where the Popeyes, when I'm looking at, like, where the chicken sits in the on the menu, you know, If you're a hamburger place, now do you like de-emphasize your hamburgers? Because Popeyes is just chicken, Chick-fil-A is just chicken,
right?
You know, the Colonel is just chicken. So McDonald's and Wendy's and Culver's, who are known for their hamburgers, they're always pushing their chicken sandwiches. But it seems as if they're, even if you like a McDonald's hamburger. And this is just, I guess, human nature. If you want a chicken sandwich, you go to a chicken expert. If you want a hamburger expert, you go to a hamburger. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, and so then I'm reading about this. So this started August 12th, with just, a regular ad campaign. To your point, whether it was a very strategically aimed PR thing and social media campaign that really was just very well executed, and whether this was part of it or not. But now they've announced that, and when this podcast is posted, which will be in early September, the first week of September, you can't even get these anymore. They were expecting the... Now, once again, is this true or false, though? Back to your point about this very well-executed campaign. They're saying that they launched it in August, on August 12th, and they were expecting this to be a limited item that they would have through the end of September. And by the end of August, a little more than 2 weeks, they sold out completely.
Right.
Now, my point is that possible? Is that a part of a larger kind of overall program to show the great demand for this?
I mean, personally, I think yes.
That you do?
It's not really sold out. I think that
interesting.
That is now the next step in this strategy, which is to say it's sold out and create this demand. And actually, so like I'm looking at this article about how it's sold out. And
oh, are you on the internet machine right now?
Said what?
Are you on your internet machine right now?
I'm on it right now.
Wow! So you can actually
palm of my hand.
You can talk and internet machine at the same time.
Yep.
Look at you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Multitasking.
You wouldn't even believe the stuff I can do with my phone. It's amazing. Which, by the way, I think I need to do like a wellness check on your phone.
Why?
How's your new phone doing?
Oh, it's not bad.
Because I'm worried now. I mean, I don't know. If it's
no,
been left
the flip,
on top
the new
of the car.
Flip phone, the new cool pad for a cool guy.
Is the new flip phone alive and well?
Yeah, it's not even a month old yet, I don't think. Or is it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, it might be about a month old. No, a month and a half. But yeah, okay. No, I've actually, about 2 weeks ago, I discovered how to find my email or my voicemail.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well,
now,
your voicemail. I just think that's funny, too, because I don't even know if people actually leave voicemails anymore.
Well, sadly, I felt, you know, like a total loser because even though I found my voicemail, I had no messages.
So anyway, what did it say on your phone? So back to the sandwich. So apparently Popeyes, when they revealed that the sandwich is sold out, they posted it. They did it in the form of a video on Twitter.
Oh, really?
That basically said that we love that you love the sandwich, but it's sold out. And it had a video compilation of all of the people, like a bunch of people enjoying the sandwich. And then the clip also apparently included, it was showing like footage of the lines wrapped around the stores and everything. And then it apparently also had a clip of the sandwich being listed on eBay for over $7,000. Like, what? So, but they're saying it's going to be back. And so, you know, if this is just, unless there's something really special about the sandwich, which so far I'm not seeing anything in the news that explains anything about the sandwich, cannot be that hard to get some breaded chicken sandwiches.
And here's my question. You know, this, you know, first of all, this in many ways may have been, once again, to your point, very strategically planned in that traditionally, especially the last couple of weeks of August, are usually the doldrums and the dog days of summer. Everybody's going on vacations before school is beginning. It's the end of the summer. And so there's not a lot of news going on. And
right.
So all news outlets are very, pardon the pun, hungry for anything that is somewhat newsworthy. So it could be, once again, a very well strategically planned thing for Popeyes to have said, look, all we're doing is introducing a chicken sandwich like everyone else has. We're a chicken company, so what's so incredible about us having a chicken sandwich, right? I mean, why haven't you had one before?
Wait, now as I scroll further down in the story, it's showing their original like tweet that has a photo of the sandwich when they first launched it. And it says, chicken brioche pickles, new sandwich, Popeyes right. Nationwide, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So now I'm looking at the sandwich and it really just is.
Right.
Same chicken sandwich that's on every other same chicken.
Exactly.
Then patty. Then you there appears to be some pickles underneath
yeah,
there, it.
Which
it's on
was,
a brioche bun, and it looks like it might have mayo on it.
It does. I mean,
none of those things are hard to
no.
have and stuff.
So I'm wondering if they said, look, we're going to introduce a chicken sandwich, you know, big deal. We're a chicken
yeah.
company. We should already have one anyway. Or,
right.
you know, and obviously with the pickle on it and the brioche bun, they're kind of going after Chick-fil-A, no question, because that's kind of the Chick-fil-A thing, too. It's just a pickle and a bun.
Yeah.
And so maybe they said, look, let's launch this in August when there's not a lot going on. If we can create some buzz for this, we can grab some headlines for a couple of weeks. and sell a few sandwiches and get and raise the awareness of Popeyes. Now, because my question is, let's say, to your point, let's say this is a manufactured sellout, and they bring it back in, you know, October. I bet you it's not going to be a big deal.
Well, I mean, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, because, I mean, is it just one of these, it's at the right time, right, you know, right moment, it's the end of summer, you know, everybody was whatever, got on this chicken thing, and it was just kind of a flash in the pan. And as we found many times, you cannot recreate a phenomenon.
Right.
And so when they bring it back, it'll be interesting if it's just ho-hum or not. Now, what I always find interesting is, especially in the last several years, there's a few companies, fast food companies, that clearly feel that, like, say, Popeyes, where you have to introduce something new, what they did with this sandwich. But there's some companies, like Taco Bell, which I haven't been to in many years either, but right. It seems like every 2 weeks, Taco Bell has a new thing. To the point that it's like, well, wait a minute, I didn't even get your new one the last time yet. Right. And now I can't get that because there's a new one. The other day I saw something for a, I don't even know what this means. I mean, I don't even know if it's grammatically correct. It's a triple double crunch wrap. I don't even know what that means. And so then I'm like, a triple double what? And then about a week later, they had a breakfast crunch wrap. I'm like, well, wait a minute. What about the triple double? I haven't even gotten that yet. Give me a chance to go to your store.
Right. Well, see, it makes me wonder, though, because I really don't do fast food anymore unless I'm kind of after soccer practice,
right,
letting the kids have a treat, they get a Happy Meal. And at least McDonald's still has Happy Meals. But I have no idea if I were to go to Taco Bell, right, I have no idea if they would have any of the things that I would have eaten like 20 years ago.
Exactly. I mean, I would still ask for a Taco Bell Grande.
Right. Do they still have tacos?
I don't even know. I used to get a Burrito Supreme. I mean, that sounds, a Burrito Supreme at this point sounds, you know, the title of it just sounds too boring.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I don't even know. And could they, how could they possibly have room on their menu for,
I don't know,
the original stuff and then all,
and then all these new, because every 2 weeks, it seems like Taco Bell. I mean, I would hate to be in their creative cooking department, whatever department is responsible for new products. I think that they, if you look internally at Taco Bell, they have a giant whiteboard, and every 2 weeks they already have, I bet you they have new products that are already into 2021.
Right.
I guarantee you.
It's their roadmap.
They have a schedule, and I feel sorry for those people that have to come up with these new, and basically they're just rehashing all their stuff and repurposing it in different ways. It's not as if they're coming up with something completely new. But I mean, have you noticed?
Have meat, tomatoes, cheese. Right. Let's see. What else can the
top? Yeah, meat, tomatoes, lettuce, beans, and a tortilla. Yeah.
Beans.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. If you're a chef, maybe that would be a fun game.
I guess.
I mean, unless they're really cracking the whip and putting you under a ton of
pressure.
I think
they have to be, because every 2 weeks there's a new thing. And then, have you noticed all the Arby's commercials?
No.
Oh, my God. Arby's.
Arby's here.
Oh, you don't have Arby's? Oh, wow. Arby's.
I don't know. Let me see. Let me just get on the information superhighway.
Arby's now has a new slogan.
We do. We have an Arby's in Austin, Texas.
Oh.
5.5 miles.
There you go. You could go right now, because their new slogan, I mean, they're all over in Chicago. There's not so many Arby's, I don't think, at least I don't see that many restaurants, but the commercials are all over the place. They got the guy that does the voice for Bob from Bob's Burgers, and he's doing it, and their new slogan is, "We've got the meats." So they're all in. They're not worried about heart attacks or health. They're going by roast beef, corned beef, you know, any kind of meats. Mm-hmm. Now they're doing a new, now their new thing is, do you ever see those small little Hawaiian crescent rolls or those little Hawaiian buns?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Those are, they're kind of sweet.
Yeah, right? They're very good. But now they're having, they are using those to make, you know, sliders.
See, I would like that. That
it was that, no, it looks very good. But my point is they're doing the same thing every 2 or 3 weeks or every month. There's a new Arby's thing. Kentucky Fried Chicken, their big thing now, I've noticed these commercials, not that I watch television all that often. It doesn't sound like it, does it? I'm watching and seeing all these commercials for Kentucky Fried Chicken. They've got these $5 meals, mm-hmm. and now they've got a new one with mac and cheese and chicken.
Wait, what?
It's a bowl of mac and cheese with chicken nuggets in it.
Huh. And this is at...
At Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, it's right, called, it's a mac and cheese bowl.
So, you know what, so getting back to just Arby's real quick, when I was in high school, there was an Arby's, I don't even know, maybe a half mile down the road from my high school. And we had a lot of stuff around. You could go off campus for lunch, I think, once you could drive or whatever. Right. I think, you know, maybe not freshman year, but maybe the rest of the years. I don't even, it's so long ago. But every once in a while.
Oh, it's not that long ago.
If we just wanted something different, we would go to Arby's because we would kind of forget that it was there.
Right.
So we didn't just have like, we had a Subway that was close to our school. And then we had, like I said, Arby's was close. And there was probably a McDonald's. But we also had a lot of local stuff too. Like, you know how Chicago is kind of good at having more local places that have like, you know, they're a lot of times they're like Greek owned where you can get like gyros and fries
or a beef sandwich. Yeah, definitely.
We had a lot of that stuff around our school too, which was kind of nice because it wasn't all chain, you know, stuff.
Right.
But once in a while, if we wanted something different, we'd go to Arby's and guess what I would always get? Chicken sandwich.
At Arby's?
Yes.
You mean the roast beef place?
Yes, but they had a chicken sandwich, and actually now I'm scrolling through their menu. They have now several chicken sandwiches.
Oh, yeah. They've got
none of which were the one that I'm thinking of back then. And it was on like a longer bun.
Oh,
and I remember it was really crispy, like really crispy compared to maybe like other.
What I liked was the Arby's used to have, and I think they still do, their French fry. They used to have that little kind of hash brown patty. You know, the
hash brown patty. I don't remember.
Yeah,
that.
It's like it was like a triangle. And instead of like fries, you would get, I don't even know what they called it. It was a potato cake or whatever they called it.
Oh, geez. But it was like, I don't remember that.
Yeah, but that was kind of their thing. Instead of fries, you got like a potato cake.
No, I think they had, they had curly fries, those seasoned curly fries.
Oh, they did. That's right. Am I thinking of something different then?
Oh, they have onion rings now, too. Wow. they do have a potato cake. They have it on the
Thank you. I cake. Told you. And I remember their curly fries, too. I used to get the, when I would ever go there, because once again, it was one of those things, like you said, that it wasn't a staple. It was one of those things that you went in case you wanted something different. But if we ever did go there, I would get the roast beef and cheese on an onion roll. It was really good. Of course, it was terrible. I mean, that cheese was like Cheese Whiz. kind of slathered on. But it was interesting to have an onion roll. You didn't really see onion rolls quite a bit at fast food places. But now, as I said, Arby's is really putting on the, putting on the hard press with with these new kind of, introductions. And so I guess, in today's world, as you know, I don't know how much you are... a cook and like actually sitting down and cooking things for your family. But in today's world, especially with younger people, everybody's eating out. And so the fast food places as well as restaurants are becoming the new dinner table.
Well, that's funny you should ask me that because most nights I do make dinner for my family.
Oh, well, good for you.
We'll go out to dinner. What my husband and I will go out to dinner most weekends. Just the two of us will get a sitter, or we'll go out with other couples for dinner. But and occasionally with the kids, we'll say like, you want to go have an early dinner and go out with them. But for the most part, and that's never really a fast food situation. I mean, like I said, if I go through a drive-through, with kids, it's usually like, oh, okay, soccer practice ran long. Let's get something quick. You guys can get a Happy Meal. Right. They're excited. Great. Everyone's happy. But
thus the name.
I do. I cook good home for you. Because it's healthier.
Yeah, well, like I said, but I think most younger people today are eating out probably 3 or 4 or 5 times a week. And so certainly.
Oh, yeah. Younger people for sure.
Yeah.
When I was younger, that's what I did.
Yeah. And so you're just seeing that clearly with the amount of fast food ads that I'm seeing on television. They're clearly there's a market there and they're all battling. And so for right now. In 2019, the biggest fast food story, surprisingly, is a chicken sandwich from a chicken place.
Yeah, right.
Well, hopefully, sadly, we can't get one now, but maybe in another month or so, although Emily believes that Popeyes is just stashing them away.
Well, they will bring it. They'll bring it back. I'm using air quotes when I say that. Okay, they will announce when it's back, and so we'll see how long that takes. But hopefully, when they do, it's not. You know, everyone's like, whatever.
I wonder. Yeah, that's going to be.
And then you can go run over,
right, and taste.
You know,
this thing
and taste it, and then report back. And
yes,
then can find
I think
out,
I will. If
it comes, really, did it live up to the hype?
Yeah, if it does come back, I think I may have to get one. But for right now, who would have thought that a chicken sandwich offered by a chicken fast food place would be the biggest fast food story of the year so far? I certainly didn't, but we shall see. Hopefully, we've got everybody's taste buds watering now for a chicken sandwich. So go out right now, wherever you're at. And you can't get one at Popeyes, but I'm sure Chick-fil-A or McDonald's or Wendy's.
Or Arby's.
Arby's. Or
don't forget Arby's.
Kentucky Fried Chicken would be more than happy to take your fried chicken sandwich order. And on that, I say thank you, Emily, and we will talk to you again.
Thanks.
And you have been listening to episode 171 of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Thank you for downloading, scrolling, clicking, whatever it is that you do to find us, and wherever you find us. Thank you so much for taking the effort. Your loyalty and your enthusiasm is much appreciated. And don't forget, if you're on any platform, don't forget to subscribe to that platform for this this podcast, to also rate this podcast, and by all means, don't forget to tell your friends, send a link about Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. It's home base on WGNplus.com. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You have been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen. Love that chicken from Popeyes.